Well, good morning. I'm excited. And I'll tell you the reason that I'm excited. Because I know that God is working. I know that this is God's vision. I know that God wants us as a body to consider where He is working and go out and build relationships and connect with people and get to know them so that we can have the opportunity to love them and have the opportunity to share the love of Christ and the message of the gospel. That's our identity. Our identity is in the song that we sang. And when we were singing the song about a God who stays, a God who loves us, a God who comes to us, did you feel the energy in this place? I could feel the energy. I looked around and I saw people move. There was movement here. Yes, that's the God. That's the God that I worship. He's a God who can handle my sin. He doesn't run away from it. He can handle my shortcomings. He doesn't make fun of me. Other people might do that. The world might do that. But not our God. Because God is great. And He has a plan. And He is in charge. And He wants to release the good news of the gospel into this community. And He is calling us to respond to the call. So I invite you to pray with me. Lord, this is the moment. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. That moment in which we have dealt with as many obstacles as we can that would keep us from being able to grab onto the vision that you have for this congregation so that the love of Jesus becomes real, not just to us, but becomes real to people in this community. And Lord, you know, you've called us to build relationships, to serve families, to share Christ. And there's a particular challenge that we have to care for those who have unique challenges, single parents, grandparents, raising grandchildren. Lord, we have a special love in our heart for those people that you love. And so we're just bringing this vision before you, Lord. And I pray now that you would release the gifts that are sitting right here in this sanctuary right now in the people who are following you and love Jesus Christ. And you have gifted every one of us with gifts for the moment to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, today we call forth those gifts. We begin a time of prayer. A time of prayer where we ask, Lord, is it I? Is it I that you want to serve on the implementation team? Is it me, Lord, that you want my gifts? I don't know what I have to offer. Lord, I pray that you would speak to people through your Spirit. And I pray that you would call forth an implementation team. In the next week or two, individuals in this congregation, as the leadership has been praying, are going to be invited to accept a real call. Not just, hey, will you do this? Hey, will you do that? It's going to be, we have identified your God-given gifts and we're calling forth those gifts for such a time as this. We're calling forth those gifts to help us implement the vision so that we can continue to be a mighty power in Christ in this community. Bending down on our knees to serve people as Jesus did and then lifting them up so that they can know their identity, their true identity as a child of God in Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, release your Holy Spirit. Release your Holy Spirit in our midst. And have your way, Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So when God called Abraham, when he was about to call Abraham, why did he call Abraham? Because God had a vision. And what was God's vision? Rodney, what was God's vision when he called Abraham? To build a nation that would be blessed by God and to bless the entire world, every nation. That's why he called Abraham. It wasn't about Abraham. It wasn't, hey, look at Abraham. Look how fantastic he is. He didn't even know what was going on. God just said, Abraham, will you trust me? Will you trust me? And will you leave your home? And will you go to a land that I'm going to show you? So Abraham, the Bible says, went out not knowing where he was going. When God called Moses, why did God call Moses? To show you how great Moses is? No, God called Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. He had a specific calling for Moses. Did Moses mess up? Yes, he did. He went out and tried to do it his own way. Ended up killing a guy. And having to deal with that. But we have a God who keeps coming after us. Because it's not about us. It's about his vision. It's about his plan. It's about what he wants to do. When God called Gideon, what was he about to do? Did he want to show what a fantastic individual Gideon was? No. God was about to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. And he called Gideon because Gideon was the one who had the faith to get it done. When God said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What in the world was God doing? He was going to reach the Gentiles, not just the Jew, but the Gentile. And as Ephesians says, he then has broken down. He's broken down every barrier, every wall between Jew and Gentile, because we are all one in Jesus Christ. You see, when I was growing up, this is the message that I heard from the church. God has given you a gift. So you better find out what that gift is and then you better use it and show God how much you love him. That's the message that I got. So I was always looking for my gift and coming up kind of empty. And then I read the Bible. You see, the biblical narrative does not support that. God is not looking at Mountain View and say, all right, all of you, find something to do for God. Please, find something to do for God. So what do we end up doing? We end up taking a little bag of candy over to the next door neighbor and say, here, I did that for God. In the Bible, and we are a Bible-believing people, God never asked anyone to dream up what they want to do for him. Never. Is that emphatic enough? God never asks you to dream up what you want to do for him. Why? Because he already knows. He already knows what he wants you to do for him. The key is not in the method that you come up with. It's not in the act that you do. The key is in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It starts there. I have pretty much stayed clear in this process. I can tell you that That vision is not Bruce Hankey's vision for this church. That vision is a corporate vision that seven people coming together, praying, listening, going out, digging in the ground, talking to people, finding out what's going on. That vision was birthed in relationship. That vision was birthed by being open to saying, God is already working. God is already working. All he needs for us to do is to open the eyes of our hearts so we can see where he's working and we can join him there. That's all. But I learned one thing when I was in seminary. There was a church that was about 5 miles down the road in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, when I was in seminary in Myerstown. And this church came to the school and said, we would like a couple of young gentlemen to come and serve God in our midst 2 days a week. I'm like, hey, I can do that. Man, I had my classes, right? I just grabbed a few books. Hey, man, I'm going to entertain those kids. I like to play games, right? I'm going to make the gospel interesting for them. This will be really cool. Well, they wanted nothing to do with the church. The church happened to have a garage. And they said, what we'd like to do with that garage is we'd like to turn it over to you guys. I'm like, no, don't turn it over to me. I'll put my car in it. I said, no, we believe that God is calling us to give that building to him so that he can reach the youth in this community. And I'm like, oh my gracious, I didn't have Witnessing 101 yet. I'm not ready for this, right? What would you say? So we went to the garage, opened it up. It was filthy, filthy dirty. And I'm like, oh, now I've got to clean the garage. And God said, no, you don't. I was with a group of three other guys. And these guys had a faith in Jesus Christ that I didn't have at the time. They had a relationship in which they truly believed that we didn't have to do anything. God was going to show us. And he was going to do his work. His work is a lot better than ours. And so I kept saying, like, no, we need to do this, guys. No, we don't. We need to go there. We need to sit. We need to pray. We went and we sat there and we prayed for a month. 1 month. And then one day, this kid named Tony, I still remember him, rough around the edges, you know, pants down, you know, the as many chains as he could possibly get, looking really rough and tough. What are you guys doing here? I don't know, Tony. I don't have any idea. And that's where God taught me how to love the people that he sends into my life. 5 months later, the whole time, the loft was not open. Because you know what? I could have opened that loft. I could have put pinball machines in there. I could, yeah, right. Are you hearing me? Man, I could have done that right. We could have had different foods every week. But God may not have been in it. And so one day, Tony came because we continued to be there and be there. Tony came and said, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be a Christian. And we said, Tony, you made a great decision. This is wonderful. And Tony was the first person that I ever discipled. I'm not proud to say that. I went to seminary. I wasn't discipling anybody. Heck, I was filling in and preaching in churches. And what? Why, you could be here today and you've never discipled anybody. You've never really rubbed shoulders with anybody who's asking the rough questions, the tough questions. Who? Maybe they don't even care about God. That's fine. We're going to love you. And here we come. Because we want to build relationships, serve families, And we want to share the love of Jesus. So that's where I learned. Tony said, why haven't you guys cleaned up this garage in 4 months? And we said, because we were waiting for God to send you. He said, I got it. I got it, bro. I got it, bro. That's how he talked. I got it, bro. And Tony cleaned up that garage single-handedly, led about 25 young people to the Lord over the next year. I don't know if the loft is still going or not. Whatever God does with that is fine with me. But what I want to say to us today is this. We have a vision so that we can join God somewhere. We're going to build relationships as we do. We're going to serve families and share Christ. But we're going into the world because we need the gospel. We need the gospel. We're going out there because it's about God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's what God wants to do. Jesus had it right. He said, my Father is always at work. It's in John 5, 17, 19, and 20. My Father is always at work to this very day. And Jesus said, and I too am working. And I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So here's what I wrote down. Last night at 3 o'clock in the morning when the Holy Spirit woke me up, I wrote this down about Mountain View Church. The strength of Mountain View Church has been a heart for the family. The strength of Mountain View Church has been a desire to have strong family ties, a desire to welcome the stranger as family. The desire of Mountain View Church is serving everyone with the same kind of love that God poured out for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Am I accurate, Mountain View? Is that accurate? Is that who you are? That's what I've heard. I've been here a year and 5 months now, and I hear we're a family. We're strong. We have strong family ties. We desire the people. Anybody is welcome here. There is no stranger. We want to share the same kind of love that God poured out to us through Jesus Christ. Then it's time to capture a common vision. This is the common vision. Would you put the vision up there, Bill? Building relationships, serving families, sharing Christ. In a unique situation that we are going to pay attention to as we leave the building, as we leave the doors, and we go out into the community, it's time to capture a common vision, to move outside Mountain View's doors, to use your love for the family to serve our neighbors that are hurting, that don't know who they are, that don't know the love of Jesus, who don't know that they've been made a part of Christ's family because of his sacrificial love, that he has rescued us. Not to bask in the glow of his grace, but he has rescued us from the penalty of sin and the power of death to be free to go out into this world, to make mistakes, to fall down on our faces, to be hurt, whatever we go through, because the love of Christ for people in this community is more important than anything to God. So this is the first message of three that are coming. And the messages have to do with, if we are going to truly move toward the vision, then what is that going to look like? And the first thing it looks like is we trust God. We trust God like Abraham trusted God. If you think that it was a big deal when God said to Abraham, leave your church, leave your family, leave your possessions, and go to a place I'm not going, the bigger deal was when he was ready to go up Mount Moriah and take his son with him. And he knew that his son was going to be the sacrifice. That Abraham was going to, as the scripture says, be tested. That God was going to greatly test him. And as they moved up the mountain, Abraham knew that Isaac was carrying the wood that he would lay on for his death. And the moment came, and he's laid out on the altar, on the wood of the altar. And Abraham is about ready to take the knife and sacrifice him. And God says, stop. The angel said, stop. Put the knife down. Look behind him. There's a ram in the thicket. And they sacrificed the ram. If that sounds a familiar story to us Christians, it's the story of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus was the one who took the wood, climbed the hill, laid out, and he was sacrificed. He gladly went to his death because he knew that God was doing something in that death, that God was looking at people's sin and saying, that's not going to separate. That is not going to separate anyone from me. Because now my son has extended my love to everyone. You don't have to get your life together. You don't have to perform for God. Because God is coming after you with a love, with an abandon, as he wraps his arms around you. And what God is interested in right now at Mount View is that we trust him. We trust him to reveal the vision of where he is working in this community. Because God is interested in our absolute surrender of everything that we are to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when I become a part of that, I find out I don't want to give this up. No way am I giving this up. No way am I going to lay that down. No, not going to do that. I find that I need the gospel. I need the gospel just as much as anybody else on this planet. So I trust God. I trust God to be who he says he is. I trust God in covenant with me to do what he says he's going to do. And in Hebrews 11:6, the writer to Hebrews says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He's a faithful God. As we know in, throughout the scripture, he is faithful to the covenant. And he is going to be faithful to this covenant that we make with God today. So, first, I trust God. Next week, we're going to find out that in order to trust God, we're going to have to make an adjustment. We're going to have to be willing to adjust our lives to what God is doing. Because you can't stay where you are and go with God at the same time. You can't stay where you are and go with God at the same time. There has to be an adjustment. I trust God. I adjust to what he's doing. And then I obey. And obedience is costly. And it requires total dependence on God to work through you. I'm seeing this as the same kind of adventure that I did when I went to the loft in Lebanon. This is going to be a call to prayer for our congregation. Because this vision and what God desires to do is not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the one who has a plan. And what we have to do is in relationship, just like Jesus did, in relationship with the Father revealed the plan, and Jesus went and fulfilled it. And now in relationship with the Father, through the Holy Spirit, he will reveal his plan. And ultimately, we have the opportunity to do what the Apostle Paul learned how to do. He said, I don't live any longer. I don't live any longer. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. God, we're not asking for you to drop your plan from heaven today. You've already got our hearts. You've already got our attention. Through a group of seven people that took 3 months in prayer under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to bring this vision to this congregation. Some of us here are saying, well, I'm not doing that. Others are saying, well, I have no idea what I could offer. And others are saying, he's already gone 15 minutes over the service time. Lord, those are all distractions. Every one of them are distractions. And they're part of our self-centered, sinful nature. That when we really go to follow you, it's pretty scary, and we want to be in charge. We want to be in control. We want it done our way. It has to be acceptable to us. Otherwise, it doesn't count. Well, Lord, we're confessing to you this morning that we are sinners in need of a gracious God. That young man who took the life of another man this week by pulling a trigger. We sometimes have the same animosity, the same disgust, the same hate in our own hearts. And we're not going to camouflage that. We're not going to pretend that it doesn't exist, because we have a cross in this sanctuary that says, you bring that to the cross. You bring your objections to the cross, because God is the one that is going to do something. Not Bruce Hankey, Not the vision team, not the vision implementation team. God is going to do something because only God can pull off the work that we're expecting through this church in this community over the next several years. Only God can pull it off. And so, Lord, we put ourselves in the only proper perspective, kneeling at the cross, opening our hearts for your cleansing, life-giving sacrifice through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, wash us clean this morning. We have nothing that we can do to produce righteousness. You've already given it. All we can do is part what we keep in our hands and in our hearts so we can part with it, so we can receive it gladly, because righteousness is a gift from you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that anybody who has stuck with me this morning and hasn't left the sanctuary in their mind, I pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would minister your grace to that person. Because you're going to treat that person as though they're the only one here this morning. Would you open the gates of heaven? Would you pour out your forgiveness, your kindness, your goodness, your grace? Would you open that person's eyes to who you really are and into a relationship with you? Because you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. There's no place else that we can go. Lord, for people who are here this morning and they're like me, and they want to respond to the assignment, but they're scared to death. Would you remind us that this is your plan, this is your work? Only you can do it. We simply offer our trust and our desire to absolutely surrender everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to die so that others might live? Are you ready to trust God and adjust your lives to obey what God desires you to do in this community at this time for His glory? Are you ready, church? Are you ready? I'm ready. Lord, I am ready. Here I am. Send me. If you're ready, will you stand? Will you stand? And if you're ready, I would invite you to say to God, God, here I am. Send me.